This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio program is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Nearly 24 young Americans are suing the U.S. government for jeopardizing their future by not doing enough to curb climate change. The lawsuit, led by Our Children's Trust, began under the Obama administration. Now, given the propensity of the White House's new occupant to deny the reality of global warming, the lawsuit could become the central flashpoint over climate change. The Washington Post recently covered the lawsuit, warning that, quote, Trump could face the biggest trial of the century over climate change. My guest is Philip Gregory. He's the lead counsel for the youth plaintiffs at Our Children's Trust. Welcome to the program, Philip.
Hi. Great to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, why don't you begin by explaining the basis of the lawsuit? We have covered this suit in the past by interviewing one of the youth plaintiffs, but let's remind ourselves, essentially, this is a lawsuit based on the fact that the children feel their constitutional rights are being violated if climate change continues unfettered?
So our Constitution provides that the government will not knowingly harm you or allow you to be harmed after the government has put you in a dangerous situation. Our lawsuit claims, and the evidence backs us up, that the federal government has known at least since the 1960s that the youth of today would be facing serious global warming problems unless drastic measures were taken. So our government has known it is putting our youth and future generations in serious jeopardy due to climate change, but our government has done nothing about it. In fact, our lawsuit claims that the government has been the primary enabler of the emission of greenhouse gases, resulting in serious damage to our environment and serious harm to these youth plaintiffs and the young of America.
Now, Phil, the lawsuit was started under Obama, who, you know, could very easily be argued, you know, did something to some things here and there in the margins, tried to work through the EPA in the face of Republican obstructionism, did some good things to address climate change, signed the Paris Accord, etc. But of course, not enough, right? Now we have Trump.
So let's stop right there with Obama. Our lawsuit is all based on the science. What will the science show? And the scientists, if you talk to any scientists about what the Obama administration did, the Obama administration did as much harm as it did good, and that our climate is substantially worse now than it is when Obama took office. So Obama was no friend to these youth. In fact, Obama, if you look at his various quotes, did as much damage in enabling fossil fuels, particularly to be exported to other countries where they would be emitted, than he did to help us. What we need is the courts to step in, particularly now given the Trump administration, to issue orders to take charge of the situation.
So maybe the most basic thing Obama did was publicly acknowledge that climate change is real. And now we have an occupant in the White House who is much, much further than President Obama just on accepting that it's a real thing. And the people that he has already appointed to and nominated for important positions in the cabinet are all those who benefit from continuing to burn fossil fuels. This, I mean, how much more important does this lawsuit become now, Phil?
Well, let's go back a little bit over history. I'm showing you, I don't know if you can see it, it's a September 1983 EPA report to the president saying we cannot delay doing anything about global warming. Here's a report to Congress from 1990 stating we cannot do anything to delay dealing with global warming. In fact, the reports back in the 80s said that if we don't do something about global warming and we continue on business as usual, that by 2015, when we filed, the year we filed our lawsuit, our country will face serious disasters as a result of greenhouse gas emissions. So our president has known for decades, since Lyndon Johnson, since Richard Nixon, that we are facing a monumental apocalyptic crisis. And while some presidents haven't acknowledged this issue publicly, presidents such as Carter, the first President Bush, they've all gone on record that this is a serious problem that needs to be addressed. The problem hasn't been the words, the problem has been the failure of any administration to act seriously enough to address this crisis. Unfortunately, with President Trump, whatever progress President Obama made, President Trump's administration is going to seriously retrench on that progress, and that is why we need the courts to step in.
And I understand the U.S. government under Obama, along with several other fossil fuel-based corporations, fought legally to have your lawsuit dismissed. Tell us about the various legal hurdles that the lawsuit has actually managed to overcome.
Certainly. When we filed our case, three trade associations, including the American Petroleum Institute, sought to intervene in our case. The reason they wanted to come into our case is they said, if we win in our case, then the fossil fuel industry is in serious jeopardy and may in fact become extinct. And so they wanted a seat at the table to make sure that their voice was heard, both as to whether or not the court should find liability and also in counseling the court how to fashion a remedy. But the fossil fuel industry is taking our lawsuit extremely seriously. And that is why we are seeking to depose the key members, both current and former, of the American Petroleum Institute, starting with Rex Tillerson, former chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil, former chairman of the American Petroleum Institute, and our current Secretary of State. We believe his deposition will reveal how the American Petroleum Institute and other organizations such as ExxonMobil attempted to seriously influence the presidential administration from George W. Bush, from President Clinton, and even President Obama to not impose the necessary measures to halt global warming, because they, like the tobacco industry, were trying to show denial, were trying to show uncertainty, when in fact they knew the serious global warming threats we were facing. That's why we're looking forward to discovery on the fossil fuel industry to start this month.
So that's happening this month. Now, can you tell us about the children, the youth plaintiffs that you represent? Of course, since the lawsuit began in 2015, some of them have graduated high school and gone on to start college, but they're all pretty young, right?
Yes, we have plaintiffs from all over the country, 21 young plaintiffs. If you go to the website of Our Children's Trust, Our Children's Trust, you can see photos of the plaintiffs and their stories. For example, when we had our court hearing in September, a few weeks before that hearing, one of our plaintiffs, Jaden from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, woke up one morning and she stepped right into the floods of climate change that had inundated her home. Our plaintiffs have faced and are continuing to face serious problems due to global warming And that's why they are actively involved in our case. They attend all the court hearings. They want to review what forms of discovery we do. They want to be very public about the importance that the courts have in trying to right this serious wrong.
So it's just kind of heartbreaking to think about the fact that these kids have essentially had to take this step because the adults in the country have failed them. I mean, basically, they're having to fend for themselves.
You know, there's a really close parallel to the civil rights cases. There's a wonderful book for your listeners to read. It's called Simple Justice. Simple Justice. It's by Richard Kluger, and it talks about the history leading up to the decision in Brown versus Board of Education. And remember, those cases were all about the kids and how the NAACP presented the science in the courtroom to show that the kids were being seriously affected by what was then called separate but equal. And the Brown decision is a science-based decision. That's exactly what we're presenting the courts with now. The adults have failed. The children are at risk. The children need to step forward in the courts, present their situation, and believe that the American judicial system can do what the Congress and what our president have failed to do, and that is get our country on a path to prevent further harm from global warming.
Phil, you said earlier that the petroleum industry was worried that this lawsuit might force their industry to become extinct. But essentially, we kind of do need that. We don't, right? I mean, essentially, we need for fossil fuels to stop being used. We need to start working toward that and have that in our sights.
And the key thing for everybody here to remember is it's not just our government using fossil fuels. Our government is enabling fossil fuels through leasing to pull the coal out of federal lands for power plants. Our government is the greatest enabler of global warming that has ever existed. And that's why that the science behind that, the history of what our government is now doing, has to come out in the court for the judge to see that it is only by telling the government to change its ways, to develop an immediate plan to recover our climate and hit the appropriate targets, will something be done.
Now, Phil, if the lawsuit does prevail, if your side prevails, what implication is there for the government and for the industry? I understand that there's some international precedent in the Netherlands.
Yes, there was a wonderful Netherlands lawsuit. So our Children's Trust is an organization that has been very helpful in this case and has been involved in other cases, both throughout the states and internationally. One example is an excellent decision out of the Netherlands focusing on the role of the government in enabling climate change and telling the government it needed to change its ways and develop a new plan. The same thing has occurred in the state of Washington. These cases are just like the civil rights cases. They're trying to convince the courts that it is only through court orders where the various administrations at the state level, at our federal level, and at the international level will court orders are the only method to get something done here.
For our Bay Area audience, Phil, I know you're going to be speaking on Thursday, February 9th, along with one of the youth plaintiffs and Julia Olson, who is the executive director of Our Children's Trust. That's happening Thursday, February 9th at the Commonwealth Club, 555 Post Street in San Francisco at 5:30 p.m. We'll post a link to the event page where people can get tickets, or you can go to commonwealthclub.org and click on events. Phil, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor, hopefully this will energize the youth of America to do something about our climate.
I'm counting on it for the sake of my own children. My guest is Philip Gregory. He's the counsel for the youth plaintiffs at Our Children's Trust, actually the lead counsel. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RUwithSonali.